Well, we're doing everything old-fashioned today. I couldn't get my computer to pull up, so we're going to be using paper today. But last week, you know, we began a series called Family Matters. And I don't know about you, but I truly believe this. Family is one of the greatest gifts that God gave us. Amen? It's so important that we have relationships with our family. It's so important that we figure out ways to get along. It's important that we figure out how to mend any fences that there might need to be mended. It's so important that we figure out how to take care of conflict too. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to conquer conflict. And how many of you here likes dealing with conflict? Anybody like dealing with conflict? No one's raising their hand. Why? You do? Okay, good. Okay, there you go. It comes with the territory, right? It comes with the territory. It takes something special to be mayor, right? To deal with conflict. And so Bill's probably the only one that likes dealing with conflict. I don't know. I don't like dealing with conflict. I do a lot of things to try to avoid it. But how many knows that conflict comes up, it happens, right? So you have to deal with it. I mean, that's just there. You have to deal with it. And the same thing goes in families. When we're families, when we're with one another, we have to learn how to deal with conflict, because guess what? At some point or another in your family, conflict's going to come, right? It just is. I mean, there's no way around it. You can't avoid it. There's nothing you can do. A conflict's going to happen, and you've got to know how to deal with it. And I believe that God gives us ways to deal with conflict, biblical ways of dealing with conflict. Amen? And so we're going to look at some things today. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Ephesians, and we'll be reading from chapter 5. For some people, this is a controversial passage of Scripture. But I believe that is because they don't understand it. They don't understand the Scripture. They don't understand the meaning of the Scripture. But I want you to go all the way to the end of chapter 5 to verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 21. Let me read the first one, the first verse to you. Submit, anybody like that word? To one another out of reverence for Christ. There you go. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I want you to hear me on this. I want you to open your ears. I want you to listen intently. Write it down if you have to. I want you to get this right. Everything else will fall into place if you get this right. If you get this verse right, everything else is going to fall into place. People often misunderstand the concept of submitting to another person. It does not mean to become totally passive. That's not what this means. Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. You see, and even Christ, who everyone will bow their knee before him. Do you hear me? Everyone will bow their knee before him. And even Christ submitted his will to the Father. And so what do? We honor Christ, right? We honor Christ by following his example. We want to follow the example of Christ. And when we submit to God, we become more willing to obey his command to submit to others. It's hard to submit to somebody, isn't it? How many has ever had a dog? How many has a dog right now, maybe? And what do you want? You want that dog to submit to your will, don't you? You want that dog to do what you want it to do. You know? Our dog, she's passive. I mean, she just kind of, you know, tucks her tail. And you know, you look at her wrong sometimes, and you'd think, I didn't do anything to you. You know, she'll just kind of go over and mope. And I'm like, you're fine. Chill, you know. Or she'll go find her mama is what it is. She always has got to find where's mama at, you know. And it's like, mama can't go anywhere without that dog following her where she wants to go. But you want that dog to be submissive to you. You want that dog to submit their will to your life. You know, when we look at Paul's day, women, children, and slaves were to submit to the head of the family. That was the way it was. Slaves would submit until they were freed. And the male children until they grew up. And the women and girls their entire lives. Paul emphasized the equality of all believers in Christ. He said in Galatians, look at this, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all what? One in Christ Jesus. But he counseled all the believers to submit to one another by choice. And when we submit to one another by choice, you are preserving order and harmony. When we make it a choice to submit to one another, we are creating unity, we're creating harmony, we are creating order in the world. We are doing what God and Christ has called us to do. Amen? And the same thing goes as individuals or as a corporate body of believers seeking to follow Christ. We are to submit to one another. When we learn submission, it can allow us to grow both as individuals and as a body. So we're learning, we're teaching, we're learning to grow together. We're learning to do what God has called us to do. That's what we're doing. When we hang out with one another, when we fellowship with one another, when we're working at the church together, when we're doing these things together, we are growing and we are learning and we are submitting and we are following what God has called us to do. Ephesians chapter 5, go there again, verse 22. This is the part that when people kind of, well, I don't like this. We're going to learn about it today. Amen? Are you ready? Everybody say amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Let me say this, and I want you to understand what submission means. Submission in the church should follow from submission in the home. The home, which is the foundation for relationships and personal growth, it must be an example of peaceful submission. Now, think about a marriage relationship, okay? Both the husband and the wife, they're called to submit. Well, that ain't what it, some of you say, that ain't what it says. Oh, read it again. When you look at the relationships between husbands and wives, you see a larger picture of church relationships. Paul spoke first to the wives. What is he doing? He is explaining to them that they were to submit voluntarily to their husbands as they would to the Lord. And this does not mean that the husband is the Lord over the wife. Do you hear me? When we look at the concept of submission, we must look at the standpoint that exists between Christ and the church. And I believe all of us would agree that Christ loves the church. Amen? I believe that Christ thinks the church is a very important part. Is it ready? Oh, thank you. We might take that back there to them. Blah, blah, where are we at? Christ loves the church. The church submits to Christ, right? We as the church, we submit to Christ. That's our goal. If we love Jesus, if we love the church, we love the things, we as the church body, the church people, we are to submit ourselves to Christ. That's part of the salvation. He talked about it, the living sacrifice. You know, one of the problems with the living sacrifice is sometimes we work our way off that altar. A little too much, don't we? Because we don't want to sacrifice ourselves. But we come before the Father. We submit ourselves to Christ and we say, we surrender our life to you. Do not base a submission point of view on either a feminist or chauvinist view. There's no room for that. A Christian marriage involves mutual submission, subordinating our personal desires for the good of the loved one and submitting ourselves to Christ as Lord. The wife's submission to her husband is one way that she can demonstrate her submission to Christ. She does this voluntarily out of love for her husband and for Christ. And then Paul turns around and he addresses the husband. He tells us that a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the body, the church. In other words, the husband is the spiritual head of the family and his wife should acknowledge his leadership. Now, let me tell you something, though. Men, don't give your wives a reason to not acknowledge your leadership. Do you hear me? Be a leader by bringing your family to church. Be a leader by worshiping. Be a leader by praying over the family. Be a leader by loving your wife and kids. Don't give your family a reason to not acknowledge your leadership. And Paul also tells the husbands to love their wives. And he adds something extra there. Did you catch that? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I believe that Jesus loved the church. Amen? Why do I believe that? Because Jesus went to the cross and he died for us. Think about it. Jesus was willing to give up his life. And husbands, you need to be willing to give up your life for your family. I don't think we sacrifice enough as men. But we got to be willing to lay down our life for our family. We got to be willing to lay down our selfish dreams for our family's dreams. Marriage, when two people come together, it's a holy union, a living symbol, a precious relationship that needs tender, self-sacrificing care. You know, I've had people in my office that are griping about what's going on. And I tell them, a marriage is about two people coming together and you no longer do what you want. It's no longer an individual game anymore. It is now you have become one person. It's not about your desires and their desires. No, it's about your desires and coming together and being who God has called you to be. God has brought you together. He has created this union. And now you are to go and to move forth into where God is taking you. But we've got to be willing to sacrifice everything for her. The husband should make her well-being of primary importance. He should care for her as he cares for his own body. And I promise you this, if you do this for your wife, then no wife needs to fear submitting to a man who treats her in this way. Do you hear what I'm saying? So now I want to quickly give you 10 ways to conquer family conflict. You got to get that first part right. That's not even the top 10 that I'm giving you today. You hear me? This first thing that I've told you about submission, you got to get that right. If you get that right, guess what? Everything else will fall into place. In relationships, if you can learn how to submit to one another, then everything else will fall into place. 10 ways to conquer family conflict. And here's the first one. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Number one, take time out. Anybody ever watch Saved by the Bell? Man, I loved Saved by the Bell when I was growing up. I guess I was in probably junior high, high school. I loved it. Every Saturday morning, man, I watched Saved by the Bell. I've seen every episode from beginning to the end. I thought it was great. There's one little part in the middle of it where he'd be in the middle of Zach would be talking, and all of a sudden, y'all remember that? He'd go, time out, and everything would stop. And then he would confront the camera and the audience, and he'd start talking to the audience about something. You know, there are times that you're going to be in the midst of conflict. And can I tell you, you need to take a time out. It's true. What happens in a ball game? The ball game's going crazy, and if maybe one team is just scoring right after, in basketball, it's pretty fast-paced. You know, they're going back and forth. And if a team is just keep scoring and keep scoring and another team starts getting farther and farther behind, what does the coach do? Timeout. We got to take a timeout. We got to reset, right? In a conflict, when conflict starts happening, it's sometimes you got to take a timeout. You know what I mean? It's time to stop for just a moment. We got to take a timeout. We got to rethink about this. We got to reset everything. We got to look at what we're doing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18 says, "A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel." Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." Take a time out. Don't go to war. Do you hear me? Take a time out. Don't go to war. Number two, put aside your differences for the moments that matter. No matter what conflicts you are in, no matter how much tension there has been, there will be times that you will need to set those differences aside and enjoy the matter at hand. Don't let that conflict ruin Christmas. Don't let that conflict ruin a wedding. Don't let that conflict ruin a birthday. Do you hear what I'm saying? Put your differences aside for just a moment and come together as a family. If you don't take care of the family that God has given you, you ain't getting another one. You hear me? We've got to take care of our family. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Number three, skip the silent treatment. Silent treatment never solved nothing. Okay? I'm just going to tell you that. You might as well just air it all out, get it all out in the open, and just be done with it. Just go at it. That's what we do. We don't hold nothing back. Some people think we're nuts. Can I tell you? And we talked to my daughter. She laughs at us. Maylee laughs at us because she said it's funny. Y'all just say what you're thinking. And Kelly told her one day, said, "Babe," said, "the day we stop talking is the day you need to be worried." We're going to solve it. We don't have, now, we may walk away for, take a time out for a minute, right? But we're going to come back and we're going to resolve this at some point. We don't always get along, do we? We don't always agree. I do a lot of things to make her mad. Can y'all imagine that? But the silent treatment never solved nothing. I told you this last week. You have to communicate. Amen? You have to communicate with one another. It's so important that you communicate and talk it out. Number four, you're going to love this one. Own your part. Here's what I want you to do. Next time you have a conflict, something happens, I want you to go look in the mirror. I want you to examine what your role in this conflict was. Because a lot of times it's easy to point that finger, isn't it? You did it, you did it, you did it. And the truth is, there's what? Three more pointing back at you, right? Because the truth is, you're just as much at fault a lot of times as that other person, right? And so we need to go look at the mirror. We need to examine ourselves and see what's going on. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31 and 32 says, "Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence." It's so important that we take a look at the mirror and realize, and we need to own our part, own what our part was. Number five, focus on the problem, not the purpose, not the person. Focus on the problem, not the person. Too many times we get wrapped up in the person and not the problem. Many times problems can be solved before we get angry at the person, right? So focus on the problem. Work to solve the problem. Don't get angry at the person. Solve the problem that's at hand. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says what? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your what? Own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Ask God for wisdom with the problem that is causing the conflict, and then trust in him to help you get the problem solved. Amen? Number 6, give it more time. Don't be too hasty and make a wrong decision. Sometimes we get too hurried to get the conflict over with and get the conflict out of the way, don't we? That we make a hasty decision and we get it wrong. But if you will just wait sometimes, give it more time and get it right the first time, you'll be better off. Amen? The goal is to resolve the conflict, not make it worse. Solomon wrote this, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Do you notice that several of these that I've been talking to, they kind of go together. Time can be on our side and it can be against us. Use time to your advantage, right? Use the time to seek counsel. Get a second opinion from someone you trust so that you make the best decision for the conflict that is in front of you. It's so important that we do that. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." Number 7, set some boundaries. It's so important in your life that you set boundaries. Boundaries are created to keep some people or some things either in or out, right? You ever had a herd of animals? If you have animals, what do? You dig a pen or you create a pen, a fence. You create boundaries to keep those animals in. What happens if the boundaries are broken? The animals get out, right? And it's chaos. It's crazy. You ever been driving down a country road and a cow was in the middle of the road? Anybody? What happened? The cow got out of the fence. There's a conflict there. There's a problem there. A lot of times if we don't set boundaries in our families and in our lives, that's what can create conflicts. We've got to create boundaries. As a pastor, I have to set boundaries and I have to separate my home life from my church life because it's healthier that way. Amen? Your job, you have to set boundaries from your job life and your home life. Don't take your work home with you. Do you hear me? I remember when I'd have a rough day or something, and Kelly would have a rough day. And by the time I got home, she was done with our first blessing. And she's like, "I'm done here." She'd hand her off to me. As soon as I walked in the door, I'm like, "Can I please just have 5 minutes?" She learned to give me 5 minutes before she just came and said, "Here," you know. It's like, I'll take her. I'll be happy to deal with her. Just give me 5 minutes from dealing with all that stuff at work. We need to learn to separate our home life and our family life. Set some boundaries. Boundaries are important. Galatians chapter 6. Look at what Paul says. He says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Each one should carry their own load." Listen to me very carefully. Don't let someone else's problems become your problems. Do you hear me? Don't let someone else's problems become your problems. You have enough to carry on your own. Don't take on somebody else's. There are people that are part of your life that they're going to take from you until you have no more to give. Do you hear me? And that is why it is so important for you to set up boundaries in your life. You want to save your marriage. You want to save your family. Set up boundaries. Amen? Number 8, don't overreact. It's easy to do this sometimes, isn't it? Because at the heat of the moment, you're ready to lash out. How many of you have done this? I'll say I've done this. I've overreacted. Someone says something to you, and before you can process the information, you give a quick response, and you end up making the situation worse than it was because of your reaction, right? Look at what James tells us, chapter 1, verse 19. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." A lot of times we just skip over everything. We go straight to angry, don't we? And then verse 20, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." That's why we need number 6, give it more time. And that's why we need number 1, to take time out. Because if we don't do these things, we will overreact. Most conflicts can be avoided if we don't overreact, right? Number 9, learn to manage stress. Anybody have a hard time with that? We got to get better at this. We got to get better at this. Some of you just need to relax. You need to go chill, okay? Like conflict comes up, just go take a chill pill, right? Just go chill. Just go somewhere. Relax for a moment. Take a deep breath. One of my favorite posters that I, you know, they used to have, you know, book fairs? Yeah, you can go buy posters, you know, for your room. When I was a kid, one of the most popular posters, or at least when I saw it all the time, I always thought it was the coolest one, was it was this cat hanging onto a tree limb. I mean, he's got this, you know, fear in his face, and he's hanging on this tree limb, and it says, let go, let God. And there's truth to this. Sometimes you've just got to let go of it and let God. We had some things come up this week that I said, there's just nothing I can do. I'm just going to put it in God's hands. I can't go out and produce more of whatever this is that I need. You know, I have to put it in God's hands and just let God provide whatever. And I'm open to whatever He wants me to do. And I have to just sit back and listen and find out what He wants me to do. We need to learn to manage stress. Some of you need to let go and let God. He can deal with things much better than you can, right? You got to chill out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I know I just read this before, but I think it goes here too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. What? Oh, there's that word again. Submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Philippians 4, 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Matthew 6, verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Man, tomorrow you'll have more worries tomorrow, so don't worry about it. It'll be here. It'll get here. Take care of today. Just chill. Just relax. Go sit out underneath a tree and sip you some sweet tea. And just have a good old day. That's a timeout, right? If there's conflict arising, just say, time out, go in the kitchen. I mean, if you're sitting there in the middle of an argument, just tell them, say, time out, I'll be back. Go pour you a glass of tea, go out and sit outside. They're going to be like, what is going on? And if they come out and say, what are you doing? Say, that's what Pastor told me to do. I'll take full responsibility. I'll tell them, hey, yeah, that's what we got. We got to chill out sometimes. And then number 10, this one, some of you say, this should be number 1. It should be, but I like saving the best for last sometimes. Start in. When a conflict arises, first thing you should do is go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God. Oh God. I need help. How do I handle this situation? How do I handle this conflict? What is it that I can say to make it better? What is it that I don't need to say? Because right now I need your help in this. We need Jesus every day to help us on this journey that's called life. Amen? We need Him to walk with us. We need Him each step beside us. We need Him as a part of our life. And the only way that we can do that is to spend time in conversation with Him. When we go a day without talking to Him, that is moving our relationship farther and farther from Him. We've got to spend some time communication. Start in prayer. Take some time. Spend it with Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always. And then look at 17. Pray continually. Does it say to only pray an hour a day? Does it say to pray, oh, just pray once a week. Oh, just pray at church. That's fine. No, He says pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many conflicts can be solved with prayer. I would say most. Because let me rephrase that. All conflicts can be resolved in prayer. Because he's going to give you direction on how to handle that conflict. You just got to take it to Jesus. It is so important that we learn to go to God in prayer. Can we pray? God, I just thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. God, your presence, you have shown up today. God, you have moved in this place. You have moved in this house. Lord, I love you. Lord, I care for you. Lord, I want what's best. I want your desires. That's what my heart is. My heart's desire is your desires, Father. I want your will. I want the will of you. And I pray for the will of your people, that for their will, they want what you want. Our hearts, our desires is what you want. It's what we seek after. And so, God, I pray right now for every individual that's here, God. I pray that if there's anybody here that's struggling in their family, if there's any conflicts that's taking place, God, I pray that they would come to you and they would ask for your guidance, for your direction, for your leading, for you to just speak to their hearts. God, I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that you would just move in their hearts, move in their lives. Help to resolve these conflicts, Lord. God, I pray that your love and your peace would just come and touch these families, Lord. God, families are precious, Lord. We need families more than we need anything else. And God, we need you. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory and we ask that you would touch every person here in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Next Sunday, we're going to finish up this series. We're going to talk about leaving a legacy. It's so important that we leave a legacy. Amen. We've got kids and grandkids in our family, and it's so important that we decide today that we to benefit them tomorrow. Amen? And so we're going to learn about that. We're going to learn about leaving a legacy. Don't miss that as we finish up the series. We do have youth tonight for grades 6 and up. We'll start at 6 tonight. God is doing some amazing things. And so I also want to remind you that this month we are collecting money for the UA Fort Smith Chi Alpha, and this will help them with any expenses that they may incur. They have a fall retreat each year. This can help with that. There are supplies that they may need throughout the year and so on. But if you could give to Chi Alpha and just mark it on the envelope, XA or Chi Alpha, we can make sure that it will get to them, and I will give Clayton that check. And just we want to see God do a work on our campus. Amen. And I believe it's so important. I believe school starts at UFIS this week, right? I know I start Wednesday. And so if you could pray for them, and also we just believe that God's going to do a work. As you leave today, our ushers will be at the back to receive any tithes and offerings.